This morning, I'm happy to be here and to worship with you, and be with you through this time of can you say when the boat's rocking a little bit? And so as I was going through the week, I was wanting to preach for your ordination or nomination service, and I was doing like I normally do, and I think about it all week long and jot notes here and there. And I guess I'm a little bit like you had to do in your mind. You had to shift gears, and I had to do the same thing, or I felt I should. And so I went looking, what does the Lord have for me? And so I trust this morning that God receives the glory, and it may be a message that may help you as you go through this time of trial and uncertainty in church life. So I'm happy to be here and to worship with you. This summer, the place we live at has quite a few trees around there. Our family has made the comment, I don't know if we've ever picked up so many limbs as what we did this year. We have picked up limbs, and we barely get done picking up limbs, and here's another storm comes through, and it topples another limb out of the tree. And it's not just always just small limbs, it's big limbs, and it leaves a gaping hole in that tree. So much so that sometimes you just want to take a chainsaw to the bottom of it and start over with it. But we rent it. Landlord would rather we didn't cut trees down. So we pick up the limbs and we go on, and the trees heal themselves to a certain extent. It happens because of the wind. The wind. There is a tree in our yard that is called a horse chestnut. This tree has had limbs go out of it. This tree has a hollow spot in the center of it. And of all the trees that are on our place, there's one that I would like to see topple over. But you see, there's one thing about it. It is next to where my office is inside the house. And it's on the east side of the house. And most times the wind comes from the west. It doesn't always. And so the thought process is it's leaning mostly away from the house. And if the wind hits it, it's going to take it away from the house, because most winds that hit it is going to be from the west. However, we've had enough storms this year that came from the east. But it still stands. Of all the other trees that have gone down or limbs out of it, that in there still stands. We don't know sometimes why in life winds come at certain times, why things happen as they do, but we know a God that has everything in his control. And I'm not talking about trees anymore. I'm talking about in our own personal life. I've entitled the message this morning, Are the Winds of Trials Strengthening Your Faith? Are the winds of trials strengthening your faith? And I pondered about going to the book of Job, but we're not going to do that. But Job had trials, and he had tests in his life, and you know how he came through victorious. It strengthened him. He was a strong man. We know the power of wind. John 3:8 says, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, if that's talking about the Spirit in our lives. As it works with us, we don't sometimes know where it's coming and where it's going, but it's leading, guiding, and directing. And I trust it's strengthening our faith. I ask you this morning, When you think about the winds of trials, who controls the winds? The disciples had a trial with Jesus. He was in that boat with them, and they're on the Sea of Galilee. And the boat is rocking, and they're sure they're going to go down. Mark 4 calls it, there arose a great storm of wind. And I think this wind was hitting hurricane proportions. I believe it was one that if you and I were there, we'd be scared to be in a boat. There's Jesus. As he's in the boat with the disciples, they call to him. And Jesus rebuked the wind and said, "Peace, be still." So we have winds that affect our lives. Winds of trial. I want to think a little bit about trials a little bit in this introduction to the message. We are all faced with trials. Circumstances. Trials that sometimes just ruffle the leaves a little bit. They shake the leaves. And there's also those winds that maybe tear out branches but don't take the tree down. Still others strive to uproot the whole tree. Spiritual sense, we're talking about the trials between righteousness and unrighteousness. The winds of trial between righteousness and unrighteousness. I talked to a man some time back that was struggling. He had made many wrong choices in his life. He was struggling to become a Christian or to walk the Christian life. He had given his heart over to Christ. And he somehow thought that when he became a Christian, it was going to be an easy life. Life was going to change from one of trials to one of ease. It was going to be easy to be an overcomer. And he found out it didn't work that way. You see, becoming a Christian doesn't mean you won't have trials. You're going to have trials. You're going to have a struggle and a battle to face. But the other side is true too. To not give your life to Christ and to let Him control your life doesn't mean you won't have trials. Look about you in the world, you'll see it. People that are struggling. Oh yes, maybe they can paint it for a while that it's actually an easy life, a life that's to be envied. But it's not. The way of the transgressor is hard. And Satan is a cruel taskmaster. And he wants to make life miserable. So we all face trials, the righteous and the unrighteous. Life is full of them. I'd like to paint a picture as you ponder about the winds of trials and the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. I'd like you to picture with me this trial, this wind comes up and it's blowing so hard at you, you can hardly stand. The picture of a Christian I want to paint in that is, they face that wind of trial in life, but they have a master that they have a grip on his hand. A master that is not affected by the storm. And he's stabilizing you, pulling you through, leading, guiding you. Let's go to the other side of that, the world. They too face the storms of life. They don't have that hand to hang on to. Or maybe they got so... They know who Christ is. They know He's there. And he wants to help them. But they've left their life to that point, slide to the point that they are no longer close to him. And I want you to think about the picture of reaching out and trying to grasp that hand, and it's just out of reach until they are at the end of themselves, and then Christ can give it to them. I've thought many times as I ponder that picture. Some of you aren't old enough. Some of you youth aren't old enough to remember that. But I was 9/11 was a time in my life where I was a young man, and I remember that time, and it made an impression. But one of the things I've always remembered about that is how the churches filled up over that time, because people knew where to go to. They knew where the truth was found. When the world was facing the storms of the uncertainty, they knew where to go. But I wonder and ponder, as you look at the world about us, I believe that's getting less and less. You and I are called to be that ones that are a salt and a light in this world, and may we be faithful in doing that, holding out our God that can help through storms and trials of life. I want to highlight again, when for the Christian, when Jesus is with us in the boat in the storms, he is saying to us today, peace, be still. Let the storms and trials rage, but I will give you peace in your heart. You may be like Paul, and you may be facing death if you go to Jerusalem, but he can give you strength through that. Peace be still and peace in your heart. Are the winds of trial strengthening your faith? Let's look a little bit about faith. We know what that is according to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Can you see the world being formed today? No. But we know it was. In faith we believe it happened, just as Genesis 1 says. Definition of faith from a Strong's Concordance: complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Strong belief in God. I trust that's for us today. And what I want to look at as we pondered the winds of trials strengthening your faith, I want to look at our response to the trials of today, the winds of today. And I hope that we are leaning more, that it's strengthening our faith in God, that he is doing a work. He's going to continue to do a work. And not follow the example I want to look at the start of it here. You can turn your Bibles to Old Testament passage, Exodus chapter 14. I said I thought about Job as I pondered this message. But instead, I'd like to turn to an Old Testament account, and that's with the children of Israel. The children of Israel faced many, many trials in life, many perplexing circumstances. They were actually in Egypt. They were slaves. They were working hard, serving Pharaoh. And when you come to Exodus chapter 14, I'm going on the fact that you are Bible readers, you know what happened. As it led up to that, all the plagues that took place that brought them out of it. And they are starting out into that desert. They're free from Egypt. And they're serving God and they're following God. He's leading them. They have trials that come their way. God wants to strengthen them. Chapter 14, let's start reading verse 1. They're on the way. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Moses was the leader. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp between I won't say that word there, but between another one and the sea, over against another name there. You can read it. Before it shall ye camp by the sea, and Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Moses is following, he's leading these children of Israel, and he took them exactly where God told them to, because there's a trial, there's a wind that needs to come their direction to try them. Verse 5 goes on that the king of Egypt heard that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside the place where it was there. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord cried unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall up unto them on their right hand and on their left. I ask you, what is your faith like in a circumstance like that? Would you have walked into that riverbed? There's a wall of water over here. There's a wall of water. Both sides, and you're walking through the middle. We're going to cease reading this passage for right now there. What was the Egyptians, or let me reword that, not the Egyptians. What was the Israelites' response when they came to this circumstance in their life, this trial in life, when they saw the Egyptians there, ready to drag them back into captivity? It was fear. Fear. Verse 10. We see that. And they were sore afraid, and they cried unto the Lord. Fear drove them to do things that we would have done in the same situation. Can I put that there for us? Fear drives us to do the same in the circumstances of us today. We start looking, we start reasoning in our mind. How can we work this out? There is no way out. We should have just stayed back there. Today, fear causes us to do things we normally wouldn't do. Moses, the man of God that was leading these people, in verse 13, I find it impressive as he told to these people, a phrase that we can find many times in our Bible. Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still." That phrase, "fear ye not," is found many times in Scripture. I ask you and myself this morning, when trials come in life, things that seem like are going to overwhelm us and threaten us, is it okay for us to have a little bit of fear? I think it's a natural response, but let's not stay there. These children of Israel knew the power of the Egyptians. They knew, as they had served under them as slaves, they knew what the bond slaves to them was like. It wasn't easy work. And when Moses had tried to make their work lighter and to bring them out earlier, Pharaoh hardened the work and he no longer supplied them straw. And he made it harder. And so they're looking at that and their fear sets in. What's he going to do? It's more. Our fear today must be tempered with trust. Trust in God, not in self. Trust in God. Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Trust in God, who is leading and guiding and watching over us today, the same as He was for the children of Israel. Fear is a natural response, but it must be tempered with trust. Remember that picture I painted to you of the storm, and Jesus is there. We reach out our hand and we take a hold of Him. He's the one we put our trust in. Isaiah 12, verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." Aren't you glad that when we have that feelings of fear that can come in as we view trials in life, circumstances in life that we don't understand, we can say we have a God that we can take a hold of. The second point of the message, the first one was fear there. I have 3 points. The second point is, if we do not deal with fear with trust, the second point is despair and discouragement. If we don't balance our fear with a trust in God, you're going to find yourself in despair and discouragement. It's going to be a complete, despair has this definition, the complete loss and absence of hope. Can you just say hopeless? Verse 10 of this passage in chapter 14, verse 10. The children of Israel went to the right place. They went to the Lord and they cried out to the Lord and they went to Moses, the leader. And they should have stopped there and left the Lord do the work. See, their fear was so much, and they didn't have trust. Yeah, they had it in lip profession of asking for the Lord, but they did not really deep down have that faith that was in God's leading and faith in Moses that was deep enough to take them through the trial. And they did not lean out and trust on God enough, and they became discouraged and in despair. And they do what people in that situation always do, and it's still that way today. They started the blame game. They resorted to blame. They pointed their fingers at Moses. And they said, Moses, it's your fault. You're the one to blame. After all, wasn't he the one to lead them out of Egypt? No. No. You Bible readers know it wasn't Moses. Moses was just an instrument being used of God to do God's plan and to get the children of Israel out of Egypt. Was it Moses? No. It was God. It was God, and we must rest in that. Must never resort to blame. And we find these children of Israel doing that very thing many times through the passage of Exodus. As you read on down through, we may look at them a little later, a few more times. Who was leading them? Who led them to that, beside that sea there? Who led them there? Well, in chapter 14, the first part, we had that the Lord wanted them to be there. In chapter 13, verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. They were following the cloud. We must rest that God is leading in our lives just as He was in the children of Israel. God was working out His plan that He had for the children of Israel, and also His plan that He had to let His name be known to the Egyptians, and that the Egyptians may know that there's a God. He's working it out. But in the fear that has taken place to despair and discouragement, they can't see that. It must be Moses. It must be somebody else. At that point, it's hard to realize that I need to look within myself and see the need of a strengthening of my faith in God. What had brought them to the point of this despair and discouragement? Well, we said it was because they did not balance their fear with trust in God. The other thing that happens in this is that oftentimes when you find somebody in despair and discouragement, they have fed on the wrong things and they start looking at self. They focused on their problems. Their problem at that point was they were trapped, so, humanly speaking. They felt trapped. But man is not trapped beside a body of water when God is leading him. Brothers and sisters, this morning, when you're where God, when you're walking with God in faith and in trust, balancing your life with that, walking where He wants you to, we can be just like Paul and be willing to give our life because we just know and trust God to lead us. We take our focus off of our problems and we focus on God's promises, that He'll never leave and forsake us. The third part of the message. Faith and trust. Moses a man of faith. Moses, a man that had his name in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. We can build faith and trust in this world. And when we try to do that, we will find out that when things start shaking in this world, you're going to find out that your faith is going to shake as well and your trust is going to shake. But when you place it in the great God of heaven, and realize His all-powerfulness, you can walk through those trials in life knowing He hears, knowing He is there for you. Faith in things of this world will be shaken. Let's remember, when God is on our side, there's no limit of His protection. The sea was before, the Egyptians behind. It's impossible, humanly speaking. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, just as the Lord commanded him to do. And the wind started blowing. We talked about the winds of trial. Now this is the wind of God doing something marvelous, a miracle that's happening before their eyes. The Egyptians, I pondered it as I was reading about these Egyptians. I think they knew wind. Earlier in one of the plagues, they had the locusts, and it was a west wind that brought them on, and the east wind drove them back to the ocean again. They're back into the sea. There we have it. Wind. They knew it had this power in it. But this wind started blowing, this east wind, and it opened a path through the sea. But there's something else that stands out in this passage. God did not wait until they started, until that path was there, and then run across. There is a pillar that was leading them, went behind them, and was a barrier. God cares, and He will do the same for you and I. We too serve the great God of heaven that puts a hedge about us to protect us. When we in obedience follow His leading, He's willing to lead you. He's willing to lead me. But are we following Him? Are we going where He wants us to go? Or does He have the path open before us and we refuse to walk ahead? You see, is fear still there in my life? That wall of water there, what if it comes back? I believe the children of Israel had no question in their mind when they saw that river open before them, that body of water dry up. I don't think there was any question in their mind that they needed to move forward at God's command to go across that, because that's where safety was. There was no protection to stand there on the shores of the Red Sea and demand of God that He preserve him some other way. How foolish to even think of doing that. Safety lies across. Follow God. It took a step of faith. It took a step of faith. Hebrews 11, we said that's where the account of Moses, and he's listed in the faith chapter. Moses' life was a life of faith. He had faith in the great God of heaven. Maybe it wavered a little bit back there when God called them and he said, I can't hardly speak. I know those feelings. But God wants you to step forward. And Moses built his life, a life of faith in the great God of heaven. And when the trial at the Red Sea happened, it was just another step of faith for him. And the same is true for us. Faith is gained in steps. You want faith when the trials come? Start today. Start in the small things. The most important thing is to put your life. Let's put it this way. The most important thing is to give your life to Jesus Christ. And then let him take total control of your life. Where did the Egyptians have to turn when they had trials? They had nowhere to go. The wheels were falling off. They had nowhere to go. But the Israelites did, because they're following God. A man of faith, Moses, had come along and was leading them, strengthening their faith as they saw God working. Faith success is going forward and the Lord fighting for you. Why do I think this message has such a burden? Because as I look in my own life, and I look at the life of the children of Israel, I can find my faith in the Almighty God of heaven sometimes waver just the same as theirs did. They had this miraculous thing happen. And verse chapter 15, they sing this great song about God and all, what he's done, and their faith is in God, and they're so strong for him. If your Bibles are still open to Exodus chapter 14, turn with me to chapter 15. Their faith was strong. Why can't it stay that way? Verse 23, it's just after this. They came to Marah, and they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? Because there's nothing to drink, and we're thirsty." Moses, it's your problem. And they murmured and complained. Again, they're falling back in the same rut. God did another miracle. Healed the waters. Another miracle happened. But they still had a problem. Chapter 16. We come into that. And they took their journey from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they departed out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto him, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And God did another miracle. A miracle that went from day to day. Manna from heaven. God fed this multitude in this wilderness. You walk up in the morning, there's that manna in the dew. God said, I'm going to give this, but I want you to eat, gather only enough for that day. And on the sixth day, I want you to gather twice as much so you have it for the seventh day. He gave specific commands in this miracle that was happening. And you read it sometime. We're not going to read it this morning. What happened? Instead of in faith and surrender to God, doing exactly what they said, what he said, their faith was still too weak that there might not be manna. They were thinking maybe there's not going to be manna tomorrow. I don't know what all entered into their mind. And so some of them gathered twice as much. God had given specific commands and it stank. The next day, I wonder sometimes if we aren't a little bit like the children of Israel, too much so that we start murmuring and complaining instead of just stepping out in faith and saying, Lord, what do you have for us? Where would you have us to go? Where are you trying to lead us through life? When there's trials, when there's things that are not as it should be, just step back and in faith say, God, you're doing a work. As I ponder the circumstances that have happened in the congregation here that says, let's postpone an ordination, I want each and every one of you to realize that in faith, lean on God. God is building his church. It's not Joe's church. It's not any of the other ministry, but it's God's church, and he can build his church. The question is whether you're in faith going to walk beside him. And be a strong pillar to your brothers and sisters, as Moses was a man of faith to the children of Israel. Remember, God is in control of all things. He's in control of the wind. He's in control of the trials. He's in control of the tests. And God can use every circumstance and wind that blows for his honor and his glory. The question is, how are you? How am I going to respond to that? Are we going to be strengthened in faith? Are we going to let our faith start to keep shaking? First Corinthians 10:13. A little phrase out of that verse. I know it's talking about some other thing of trials that entice us to sin. Closing thought. But God is faithful. Remember that. But God is faithful and he will lead you. God is faithful. May you remember that through the coming days.